kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I want to share with you about the anointing. I've been sharing this online on Instagram over the last few days about the anointing, and quite a bit came out of it, and I thought it would be a blessing to be able to share and talk on this and open it up as the scriptures reveal. So we're calling our teaching today, You Have the Anointing. You Have the Anointing. And I want us first to turn to 1 John 2:20. You know these scriptures very well. 1 John 2:20, which says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So that's a positive statement given to those who are truly born again of the Spirit. It clearly reveals that God has placed the anointing upon the believer. Now, we need to just understand a little bit about what is meant by the anointing here before we go on any further. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, the prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil, as we know, which signified their being set apart for the service under God. That was always the purpose of the anointing. And of course, we know that Samuel was called in which to anoint young David to be king over Israel because of Saul's rebellion. Although he was anointed, his actual reign as king was not seen fully until years later. But he was already at that stage set apart for his kingship. And it describes how the oil is put on from the top of the head, which rolls down to the soles of the feet, right down. So it speaks of the head to the feet, a complete separation unto office. And of course, in those days, it was kings, priests, and prophets, and so on. The Lord was also anointed as well, set apart for his ministry, his office. And in the New Testament, the anointing is similar with us. And here we've just read in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And it says quite clearly that you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. We are now God's priest, royal priesthood. We too are set apart for office. The priesthood now is quite different than when it was under the old covenant. And because he has put this anointing within us, this gives us permission. It gives us an authority to not only be able to walk with God in fellowship, in relationship, but also to minister. And this is why we make so much about ministry in the body of Christ. All are called to minister. How do we know? Because it says that you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. In other words, this anointing that you have received or should have received gives you an understanding that you know all things. You know what is being revealed to you. You know what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Now, this anointing oil also speaks of the oil that goes into lamps. And of course, we know the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They have lamps, but those lamps are of no good, no use, unless they have oil in which to cause the light on the wick in which to burn. It was the fuel. And so we begin to understand what this anointing is about. This anointing is not only separation from the world unto God, unto holiness, but it's also an anointing that's given to us for office, so that we can pray, we can supplicate. It is also given to us that we may be illumined by the Spirit to be able to understand and read the Word of God. So we begin to understand, don't we then, that the wise virgins who have this extra vessel of oil, the oil of anointing or the oil of preparation, as we call it, it is all connected with seeing. Seeing what? The Word of God that is lit up to us. And this is what it's all about. So he says that this anointing oil that we have, that you have received the anointing or the unction of the Spirit, as the authorized calls it, this is to illumine the Scriptures to us. It's to open up so that we can understand what we read and what we hear. And let's couple that now with some Scriptures to back this up. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, here it says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, and it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged of no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ because of the anointing, which it says in verse 20, that you have received. And he clearly reveals how this works, because he says the natural man, the man of the world, the man who is not converted by the Spirit, will not receive the things of the Spirit. And not only that, but they are foolish. They are ridiculous. Just like we thought before we were saved, these Christians and these believers, they're a load of nutters, until our eyes and ears were opened so that we might be able to spiritually now discern. That is what the anointing, the unction is for. We then go back, don't we, to 1 John chapter 2 again, and let's go down further and we look at verse 27, where again it comes up in the context of what is being written here. And he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, this word anointing here, the same back in verse 20, in the Greek is chrisma. Chrisma. And they're both the same words. And it means it's an anointing set upon you to receive from God. Because you are set apart, you are called to office. What is your calling? What is your office? Well, you are a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You now have had placed upon you an authority, a spiritual oil that has run from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You're set apart for the glory of God to function, not to be entertained and sit back and watch it all happen. Not at all. You are very much involved and called in these end times to be that example, to share the word where you can, but not only that, to learn from the word and to have your mind and heart illumined by the revelation of God's word. They are just some of the callings that are set upon us. So we see then the anointing in the word that lights the word, which we get from the parable of the 10 virgins, that oil that lights up the word, the scriptures. What is it for? It is to illumine your mind. Illumine your mind to what? The revelation of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. It is a revelation. It is an unfolding. It is a learning. It is spiritual. And this is how he does it, by illumining the mind. In other words, he spiritually puts the lights on so that you can now see unhindered God's word that he speaks to you and I. What does it say in John 16 and verse 13? I know you know these scriptures well, but I think they're applicable in the light of what we're looking at here and talking about in the Gospel of John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And then he goes on about being glorified. So listen to what Jesus said that was going to come later, as when he comes back through the Holy Spirit, baptizing one in the Spirit. He says, the Spirit of truth has come. He'll guide you into all truth. So he guides us not only by the fact that what we hear is true, but he guides us in truth. So the understanding of this is he's working with us as we learn the word of God, as we believe upon it, and we act upon it. It works truth within us, not a lie in any way or form. For he will not speak on his own authority, even though Christ had it there, But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. That is how Jesus walked. He had authority, but he had to receive a greater authority in his flesh. And what he heard, he moved and acted upon. Why? Because he knew that all that his Father revealed was truth. And there are a lot of Christians who profess Christ who do not have that assurance of truth. There's confusion. There is doubt. And that should not be if you have the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. That is there to deal with unbelief, with doubt and everything, you see. This is why the Lord came hard on the disciples when they didn't believe, because they were receiving truth. But at times they doubted it, and we do exactly the same at times. You see, the anointing enables believers to walk also effectively, to be able to witness. This is what it does for us. And we know this. For example, if we read it in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And there we are. So it had to start somewhere from Jerusalem, and it will finish to the four corners of the earth, which is almost done, completed. But he says, "You have received power from on high," or the unction, the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of which to make our witness effective. You can add that in Acts 2 and verse 37 onwards. Acts 2, we'll take it up from verse 37. "Now, when they heard this," hang on a minute, it's Acts 2 and verse 37. "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is yet to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" So there we see the baptism of the Spirit, receiving the Spirit, what was taking place. And it says, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continued daily with one another in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So there we are. The anointing then enables to witness effectively. We also see in the scriptures that the anointing is to minister the gifts of the Spirit, which we know in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And Romans 12, where the office ministries are there as well. That is what the anointing does. Remember, the anointing opens your eyes to see what is there for you. The anointing oil. The anointing is also an empowering to preach and teach the word. How do we know this? Well, our Lord clearly showed this, didn't he, in Luke 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, which he prophesies from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and receiving of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He knew that anointing we've been speaking about was upon him. And you also are to know that that anointing is upon you. You either know or you don't know. And if you're not sure, then now is the time to find out why God is addressing this. Because it's very clear. We're seeing how important the anointing is. And we see that Jesus was anointed to preach. And because he was anointed to preach, it got him in trouble. The Pharisees didn't like it because they saw an authority upon him, something different from the rest, you see. You see, the anointing gives believers the power that's needed to walk and to live this consecrated life. It's not easy to live a separated life from this world. The world is very strong and very alluring and seductive. And so the anointing works this consecration for our lives. And of course, those that are baptized in the Spirit will experience the anointing. And we, of course, experience that in various different ways, as we know. We know that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is now come to bring us into the fullness. He's baptized us, working now sonship within us. And we get that idea in the man-child of Revelation 12 that is soon to be born, birth, to be revealed to groaning creation. If you like, they are the anointed ones. The wise virgins are the anointed ones. They have understood the anointing and what it's for. And they've drawn the power and blessing from the anointing. Now, with what we've looked at back in 1 John 2:20 and also verse 27, which we'll probably look at again in a minute, but I just want to recap and give us the understanding of why this is so imperative for us to understand. And we get a clue in this when we turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And here we see in chapter 1, and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God, it's always been with him, never a time when it was not. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. And in verse 14, Here it's absolutely clear with what has just been read there in those five verses. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John says he bore witness of it, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. So this Word that is God and always has been with God, this Word that you read, formed the world into being. This very Word from Genesis to Revelation was God's Word that formed and spoke the Word, the world into being, the universe into being, and created man, woman in his image. This is God's Word that we read. And he became flesh in which to reveal the Word to us. He was the Word made flesh. He was the anointed one. And so that anointing that was upon him, he says, I will come back to you. I will come back by the Spirit. I will teach you. I will lead you. I will guide you. That anointing that's on me is the anointing also upon you. Why do we doubt, brothers and sisters? Are you experiencing that? Do you know that in your heart? Is that being revealed to you? Because if it is, then you will not be deceived. Because the light that is in Christ, the light that is in the new birth, the light in the anointing, the unction of the Spirit is lighting up your path, showing you the way. You are hearing what your Father is saying. You are under the anointing as the Word is being preached. All of this is absolutely imperative for us to stand in these last days. And something that the Lord quickened to me as we go back into 1 John chapter 2, and where he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. So he says, this anointing, the unction of the Spirit that was upon me, is upon you through the Comforter that has come back, through the Holy Spirit. He says, he abides with you. So it's not something that happens and goes and comes and goes, not at all. It abides with you. And because it abides, you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, what does it mean by that? It means that the Holy Spirit, the anointing, is always going to teach you first, before any preacher or teacher. That is his office. That is his ministry unto you. And when you come together, when we come together like this, under the anointing, it is going to confirm to you what you're already being taught from Almighty God. Because the light has shone in your life, in your heart. Every time you look at the Word of God, it's like a light suddenly comes on to understand the Word of God. And the teacher helps you to understand. You are seeing it, but they help to put the things in place so that you understand. And that is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know that is being confirmed to their spirit and heart by the anointing that they have received. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. So everything in this life that you are going to be taught is true and is not a lie. And just as he taught you, you will abide in him. And that's why we can stay with it and we can endure to the end, because of the anointing, the light that we receive. We know it's true. There's no lie. In other words, I have nowhere to go. I cannot go back. There's nothing to go back to. I continue to move forward by the grace and mercy of God, because I abide in him and he in me. Are you getting it now? And I want to say one more thing that I had not seen in the time of my ministry, when I started to open this up on Instagram, and I'm still with it, and I'm getting quite a following coming on this. The Lord impressed to me, there is no other book that is anointed to illumine our minds to the revelation of God's word than the Bible itself. There are myriads of books on theology, you name it, have been written over the centuries. Some of them, yes, are inspired, but they are not anointed. There is only one book that is anointed, and it is God's word. That is what the anointing is for, to illumine, to teach his word. He does not share this anointing with any book that man writes. He doesn't do that. He will not share his glory. His glory is in his word, because he is the word. Not even in films or videos, and we're bombarded with it all. He doesn't anoint that in the same way. Maybe the vessel that is preaching has the anointing upon him, but the anointing for your eyes to be able to see, for your minds to be able to be illumined by the revelation, only comes and will come from the word of God, the Bible that you hold in your hands. Maybe you had seen that one, but I had not seen that quite in that light before, until I believe the Holy Spirit quickened that to me. And that, of course, would explain why the powers of darkness want to try and get rid of the word of God, the Bible. It has always been under attack right through the centuries, because the devil knows it is anointed. And it's God's anointing that is on this. It's not an anointing, it's God's anointing. Because he said, I will come back to you, and I will teach you, and I will lead you, and I will guide you, you see. And so there we are. So he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And you do. And nothing will be hid from you. You will know all that is needed in this life as an overcomer. And even in eternity, you will continue to learn and learn and learn. There never will be a time when it will stop. You will continue in eternity learning all the time more from Almighty God. Why? because he is the anointed one. So there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that you understood a bit more now why you're separated, why you are that royal priesthood, and what God has placed upon you with the anointing, that anointing oil. And we have looked at some of the ways in which that anointing works, in which to preserve and keep us and teach us, to enable us to walk in the light, to have our path shone before us so that we can walk in the ways of the Lord. That's all what it's for. Well, there we are. You have the anointing. That is what we've been talking about today, and I trust that it's been a blessing for you, will help and encourage you, and that the Lord is very faithful. And that is why you'll be able to discern, you'll be able to test the spirits, you'll be able to hear when something is not lit by the Holy Spirit. It's dark, it's coming from the world, from the flesh. You will be able to discern that and expose that. That's one of the authorities that God has placed on us for that in these closing days, because trust me, there is so much heresy out there. It is unbelievable how the Word of God is twisted and changed. It's frightening. But I thank the Lord, he's using me to be able to, Lord willing, correct, God knows, because I wouldn't be on it in the natural. But I value your prayers, because there is a remnant around the world that are beginning to respond, and they're beginning to listen now and follow. The numbers are really going up, praise the Lord, because a lot of those sheep are fed up with being deceived. They're becoming despondent. There's nothing hardly to listen to. There's so much hype, so much flesh. It's just nothing more than entertainment. And so the Lord knows, and I'm beginning to understand now why God has, he wants me to be on there for a season, because I truly did not want to go on Instagram. I really, really didn't. But until God opened my eyes to see and to understand why he wanted me on there, and I'm now beginning to see the fruit of this beginning to come to pass. So there we are, God is faithful. And why? Because it's all about the anointing. And God wants to use each one of you as well with what he has placed upon you. Don't be put down. Don't be fearful. Just believe and go forward, and you will watch that anointing that he's placed upon you. And the sheep who are called of God will respond, and they will see it. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.